Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Now, let me tell you about Auntie Ben. Auntie Ben is Ireland's first LGBT play specifically written and created for children. And what it does is it looks at a transgender man and the reaction of his niece's friends to him while he's dressed in drag. It's been met with some resistance because some people wonder, is 7 years old a bit too young for kids to learn about LGBT issues and being transgender? But Shani Vuri is the founder of what's it called?
Superpower is the company.
Superpower,
name,
yeah. P-A-U-A.
Yes, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, you're the company behind the play.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the play? What is the storyline of the play, Shan?
The storyline of the play is basically a story about a 9-year-old girl and her friends. And this girl, Tracy, has been raised in a family with her mom and her father and also with her Auntie Ben. Now, just to clarify, yeah. Auntie Ben, actually, he's not actually transgender. He's a drag queen. He's a drag queen the way Panty is.
Transvestite.
The way plays Auntie Ben. Yeah. And so, but I suppose from that point of view, the play opens up a discussion about gender more generally, as in what's for boys and what's for girls, and from an everyday point of view. But it also sort of leads the way to talking about issues to do with transgender or to do with... So I suppose that we don't really discuss sexuality in the play at all, but if you're a child who knows, if you're a child or a teenager who knows that someone who is a drag queen is most likely from that community, it can open up a discussion about that in an age-appropriate way for children from 7 up.
We talk about this quite a lot, a fair bit on the programme and all that kind of thing. I would have thought 7 was very young to be introducing kind of issues like this. And I mean this even if it's heterosexual, bisexual, all these things, just quite a young age to be kind of introducing it to their world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's something that a lot of people feel, and we get that feedback a lot. And I understand that people generally mean it not in a negative way, but I would say that if you look at it from a different point of view, that's actually all of the evidence is stacked against that opinion. From the point of view that gender norms, in terms of us socializing our children to believe that certain behaviors or toys or whatever are just for girls and just for boys. Mm-hmm. That begins before Montessori. I mean, I'm a nanny to a 3-year-old boy, and already from I don't know where he's picking up these things about pink things just being for girls and certain toys just being for girls. And by the time we reach the age of 6 or 7, children are already expressing homophobic opinions in school. Homophobic bullying is absolutely rampant in schools. And
you've made a giant leap there, Shan, from boys like boys' toys, girls like girls' toys, and now homophobic. Well, how did you make the connection there? Seems very...
Well, I suppose the gender binary that sort of includes us teaching our children boy-girl behaviour, it's embedded in everything from the media to casual opinions that adults express. And it continues, I suppose...
What's wrong with that, though? What's wrong with a boy liking Action Man?
There's absolutely nothing wrong with a boy liking Action Man. Yeah. And obviously, children will... it's about choice, I suppose. It's about trying to force children or not to do one particular behaviour if it stands against what they would do normally.
No, but if a boy goes into to Smith's and says, I like that section over there with the Super Ninja Turtles, whatever they call, and a girl goes over, I want to go to the Frozen section, that's their choice to wander to that section.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Parents are shoving it down their throat saying, you must have a boy's toy.
Not always, but sometimes. But that's my point is that's absolutely fine. Choice is the best possible thing that we can encourage.
Sure.
And this show is absolutely not about discouraging feminine or masculine behaviour. It's about showing children at a certain age and examples of someone through a story that doesn't necessarily conform.
Okay, so you're normalising difference.
Yeah, exactly. It's entirely about looking at people who are slightly different to you and saying, how do you feel about that for children? And I suppose there's two issues here, which you did point out before. One is about general difference, and it's about looking at people who, and a girl who likes dancing and a boy who likes football, but he might also like playing with toys with his sister as well, and how that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, of course.
And we can play with whatever we want to play with, and we can be whoever we want to be. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the side of it that is that actually one thing that teachers and I think parents might know or they might have noticed is that children do, like, they can use the words gay, or they can sort of get uncomfortable or use gender-based bullying or homophobic bullying, maybe not knowing what they're doing from a really young age. I mean, children who are young enough to say that's gay in a bad way, they're expressing opinions that are homophobic that they've learned, but that they don't understand.
Okay,
and
please continue.
My point would be this. Children actually know a vast more than we think they
do. Yes, I agree with you.
It's just that if we don't take control of the conversation with children, it puts parents and teachers and children themselves in a vulnerable situation, because they kind of grow up in an atmosphere of discomfort, suspicion. They sort of think, I've kind of heard this word, but I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
And I think it's far more healthy for teachers, parents, to actually say, what is age appropriate? Like, what can my child know at this age that makes them just not feel uncomfortable and feel like they understand it? But obviously it is about, like you said, looking at what is appropriate for a 7-year-old, what is appropriate for a teenager, and they are different.
Yeah.
But we have standards when we talk about, say, straight sexuality, bearing in mind that, say, a 7-year-old doesn't understand what sexuality is.
You see, that's my difficulty. I'm being honest with you when I say I think seven's too young, Shan. I'm parking my partiality. I'm talking as a dad now for a second. I think seven's too young. I think seven, their concerns at seven should be toys, playing, reading, learning, and having fun in the yard, not being introduced to, you know, sexuality of any kind, really, because it's just too young for their little heads.
Yeah, but I would counter that. I think you're right, and our show is actually, the majority of the show is very child-focused. It's about the child characters in it, and it's about the games they play, and it's about dressing up and things.
Mm.
But what I would say is that most people presume that children don't know anything about sexuality at seven. But what we're talking about is social sexuality. It's not actually about, like, if a 3-year-old knows that they've got a mummy and daddy, and that their friend down the road has a mummy and daddy, or maybe just a mummy or a daddy, they already know that people are forming relationships in their community. So that's what I mean, is, and that's not a knowledge of sexuality that actually has anything to do with sex. It's a knowledge of sexuality about social...
You see,
social
I wouldn't call that sexuality. I call that relationships, and they're two different things.
Yeah, exactly, relationships. Well, I suppose from that point of view, our show doesn't deal with sexuality at all then, in that way. But it does deal with people that... Identity, I suppose.
Okay, identity.
The child is seven. Yeah.
The Iona Institute, which is, for those who don't know, it's a kind of conservative, right-wing organisation, said about the play, gender bending coming to a school near you. You'd expect the headlines, quite provocative from them. Do you have any thoughts on that?
That article was... it didn't bother me because of what it said about the show. I mean, and also, I think it's important to point out that that's one of the few negative responses we've had. It's actually from teachers, from parents, from schools. The response has been really positive. Like, people who come and see the play, it sounds like such an odd concept, but they get it. And this man wrote an article that was generally, like, really offensive. It betrayed an absolute lack of knowledge of anything to do with... transgender issues, intersex issues, and then just mentioned our play as an example of how the world's going to hell in a handcart. And I mean,
and you're driving
I haven't
the handcart,
got much to
are
say
you?
To it. Yeah, well, yeah, I haven't got much to say to it because it was such a badly written, badly analysed, and badly researched piece from a very ignorant point of view.
Well, you would say that, wouldn't you? I mean,
I know, but we're talking on a basic level about a basic knowledge of what it means to be transgender or what it means to be intersex. The article had no idea and was very, very offensive.
It's,
and there was an excellent response written by the head of the Dublin Gay Theatre Festival to it. So I'll draw a line under there, but I mean, what it said about our show, I didn't mind, but what it said about people who are transgender generally was just
Not for you, right? It's happening in Smock Alley Theatre in Dublin, 28th of November at 1:30 and 7:30 in the main space there, suitable for kids aged 7 and up. Good luck with it, Shan.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for your time this morning. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
Take it easy.
Thanks
for now. Bye. Good morning to you, Susan.
Hi, Ryan. How are you?
How's it all going?
Good, thank you very much.
You heard me talking there to Shan about this, transvestite play for 7-year-olds up.
Yeah.
And I must say, most people thought it was a bit too young.
Yeah, well, it was just when I was listening, I thought I'd give a buzz. And I think just because I'm coming from the point of view of, as a parent, myself, my partner are gay, we've got two two babies aged 1 and 2. And, you know, I think from the very beginning, we'll be helping them understand the difference, you know, the different families that are out there.
Yeah, you have to, don't you?
Yeah. So, you know, I was thinking, like, if, you know, you had a son or a daughter in school, age 7, and if they had a child in their class, age 7 as well, who comes from a different type of family, it would be good to help all the other kids understand, you know, that maybe the type of family they come from is just another type of family, you know, that there's nothing weird about it, you know, so.
Yeah. I suppose that comes back to what we were saying, which was you're describing the need to inform children about relationships rather than sexuality. And I think that's, when I hear the word sexuality in 7-year-old, I get uncomfortable.
Well, yeah. Well, so do I. I suppose it would depend on, I don't know what the play is. I haven't seen it, obviously.
Sure.
And, you know, it would depend on how sensitively the issues come across.
I presume it's very sensitive, in fairness to them. They're smart people. I presume.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
You know, I think it's difficult sometimes to separate sexuality and relationships completely, you know, because questions are followed through all the time, and it's, as kids are mixing with others in their class, you know, you don't know what kind of questions come up, you don't know what kind of backgrounds other people are from, and what other kids will ask or tell, and, you know, so it's just to be able to prepare them as best as you can.
How are you getting on in life as, you know, a gay mum with 2 kids? Do you get much comment? Do you get much raised eyebrows, or is it all becoming very much the norm these days?
It's really part of the norm so far. Like, we've a very supportive family, very supportive friends, so we're very lucky.
Yeah.
And I think we're in an age now where things are more accepted. You know, even from, we're 39 now, so we met when we were 20.
Mm.
And even in those few years, things have changed so much and become so much more accepting. So that, you know, that is great. But as, you know, our kids are so young, it'll be their first exposure, really, to the wider public when they start school. And maybe that's when things will become more evident of what other people think and how accepting they are, you know, when you have other issues to deal with and what crops up.
Mm.
So, but we just have to deal with it as it comes along. And I think people are generally more helpful, and there's more resources there for people to go and get help than there were before, you know.
Yeah. So it's more of a, society's a bit more, what, tolerant, open, welcoming, open-minded, better.
Yeah. Like, you still do. I mean, there's obviously people who aren't going to be, you know, and they're probably people who aren't very tolerant of a lot of things, you know, in fairness.
You know, some people wake up looking for a row.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, exactly.
That's the truth of it. Some people are just grumpy punters, and they just wake up and they're just, and they go online then for the day, probably.
Yeah.
I wonder, is there anything on the news I can give out about today and then post it on my blog?
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? They're just out there and they're angry. They just need a big hug or the other. But one way or the other, they need to be looked after. You know what I'm saying, Susan?
Yeah, I'm hearing you.
You're hearing me. We're loud and clear. So what's the plan today? What are you off to?
Oh, well, I don't know. The other fella's still asleep, so just potter and do the, you know, the normal things. Get the milk, get the bread, and, you know, see what the day brings.
Don't forget the bread.
They're bread addicts in this house, so I can't.
They love it. Do they eat the crusts?
No, they don't eat crusts, but I like crusts.
Crusts are delicious. What is wrong with kids?
The nicest part, I know.
I love the crusts.
I'll have to start dipping it in chocolate or something.
Yeah. They're not, you know, I don't know what, when we were kids, because we're roughly the same age, Nutella wasn't really on my radar as a kid.
No,
but it's
peanut
they're
butter
mad.
Was,
peanut butter was, especially the nut crunchy one, not the smooth one.
Yeah, I still have the crunchy one in this house. Nutella's never come into the press yet, so.
But they're mad for it now.
I don't know. It doesn't float my boat.
It's all ahead of you, Susan.
It's all ahead of you.
Hey, listen, it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
You too. Good
luck with the bread purchasing.
Thanks, Ryan. Good luck with the toy show. Looking forward to it.
I hope your gang enjoy it, okay?
Oh, we will.
See you, Susan.
Thanks, Ryan. Bye.